Hey, what's going on? And welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. Hope you're doing well. I hope everyone is happy, healthy, and safe as always. I've been doing this podcast for almost a year at this point. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for always tuning in whenever I put out an episode. This is one thing that I always really care about doing because it's the one thing that I can always control through pandemics, through presidencies, through music, through life, through anything else that the world can throw at me or any of my friends and family. This is something that I can always feel comfortable doing. And today on the show is a really good friend of mine. I know him as Joshy. You all know him as Mel Lennon. He's an incredible musician, producer, actor, overall performer, and just overall, just one of the sweetest people you will ever meet. I met Josh. We were both working at a bar called City Winery. I've met a lot of friends and other collaborators through that, but he has just been one of the shining lights that I've been able to meet and have the pleasure of knowing. I truly think he's incredible. I've been doing a lot of music videos with him. I've been working a lot with him artistically, and I had to have him on the podcast because he is truly one of the funniest people I know as well. And we wanted to talk about his upcoming projects as well as his life, as through COVID, as through being a performer and an artist and in 2020. So I really hope you like my interview with Mel Lennon. Here it is, and thank you so much again for always tuning in. Hope you have a really good day. Okay, call it, telling people time can be mad that I've been arriving late since summer 89, but I heard that I just might make more excuses than a politician call line. My motto's, we can do that motherfucker shit to my man, like, everything's fine. Treat my haters like they selling me, calling me, I put them all on silent. Yo, boyfriend think that I'm depressed like a zipper. Then he quote Dolly while pouring out liquor. Maybe just trying to lift spirits, but feel like my purpose ain't being fulfilled. And have you ever felt something that's meant for you too? And maybe that's you and I, boo. I just need a check. Okay, quite a few live my truth, which means it must come with a view. Ha, I've been up all night trying to figure out why the fuck ain't rich. And when my friends all tell me about myself, I tell them all they a bitch. Like, I gotta get my act together if I'm gonna make it. Well, watch me work, 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 work. Keep working on my shit. Now watch me work till I get it, cause it's all for me and nothing. So hi, Joshy.
Hi. How are you?
Tell me that. People are gonna know.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Mel Lennon.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, what's up? Hey.
I know you put on the fake voice. Is that your artist voice?
Yeah.
It's a lot more low.
You know, yeah, it's very like...
You're trying to be D'Angelo?
Yeah. Sure. Sure. I mean, what the gay one?
Yeah.
D'Angelo? I don't like it.
Yeah, no. Let's stick with Mel Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting on your floor in your... Am I like the first person to visit this apartment?
Yeah.
I'm the first. I'm like, nice.
Yeah.
That makes me feel very special.
Yeah, so you're the first person to poop in it. You're the first
That's
to
true.
Visit. Yeah. I mean, my boyfriend has been here, but
okay, so
other
first,
than him.
That's good then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sitting on a unfinished mattress frame.
It's finished. What's
on? Oh, sorry. There's no mattress on it.
No, there is no mattress.
So
you're actually by the mattress.
Yes. I'm
that mattress is $1,000.
Is that the most expensive thing you own?
No.
What's the most expensive thing you own? You had to go for it. And keep in mind, I will edit a bunch of stuff out. This is just chilling.
My laptop? But I was going to say me because I'm priceless.
Aww.
But yeah, I think my laptop.
That's fair.
That's not true. My Apollo Twin is more than my laptop at this point.
You have one of those?
I do.
Damn. Okay, yeah. So that leads me into this. So... When you're creating music, and, like, all the music that I've heard from you and stuff, what is, like, the evolution? Are you, a gear person, or are you just... Because I feel like we both try to ball on a budget.
Yeah, like you know some sad news. So, yeah, I do have this Apollo Twin. I've never used it.
Really?
I'm going to. When I set up, you know, I've just been...
Well, it's been a big year.
Moving around a lot for the last 2.5 years, so... And that I kind of got it like 3 years ago, so I just haven't used it, but I totally will.
Well, let's start. So
as far as gear, like yeah. I don't give a fuck. Like I was making beats on a keyboard where I had to like play each part, like the whole song all the way through, like and record it that way, like over and over again. Like I would have to play the whole song all the way through. Like
gotcha.
That's what I used to make beats on.
No, that makes perfect sense. Well, starting back, so you're from Atlanta, technically.
No.
You're from Germany?
I am.
So can you walk me through? Because I'm so confused. So I know you lived in Atlanta. I know you lived in Germany. What is your actual background?
I was born in Germany, in Frankfurt, on a military base. I know that drops my cool points down like several levels. And then my mom and dad relocated to the United States for 3 years when I was in kindergarten. And then in third grade, the first half of third grade, I moved back to Germany. And then I stayed there until I graduated high school. So I'm from Germany. Then I moved to Georgia to go to Savannah College of Art and Design.
Savannah. Okay, yeah. You're from Savannah, Georgia.
I'm not from Georgia at all. Okay, but you know, if I do say from at all, I have to say Augusta because that's where my mom is from. But I really have no
real but you grew roots up in
there.
Georgia.
Yeah, like I've visited there, but I don't, you know.
Got you.
It's not home.
Well, now, when did you start doing music? When did that whole process begin for you?
When I was in seventh grade.
Okay.
Well, actually, before then, I remember I went to a restaurant with my mom, probably when we were in South Carolina, because I was super young. I remember that I was young. I don't know where we were. But I know I was still with my mom and dad were together, and that was before we moved back to Germany. Anyway, long story short. We went to a restaurant, and there was this guy playing piano, and I was like, oh, my God, I love that. I want that. But, you know, I actually also remember the tip jar being on top of it, and it just, like, looking full. And I was like, yeah, like, I can get with that. And then my mom, like, signed me up for lessons. But then afterwards, she told me that she actually had piano and voice lessons when she was pregnant with me, and that it probably, like, resonated with me, like, when I saw it. And I was like, oh, my God, what is that? I want that. And she was like, so I started back then, but I didn't actually start making, like, music, writing songs altogether until I was probably in, like, seventh grade. Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, well, it was so funny. When I first, I always like to tell this story because it does make me laugh quite a bit.
What?
But when I first met you and I asked who your favorite, like, music, because you said you did music when we first met.
You're going to make me sound like an asshole.
And you were like, I was like, who's your favorite artist? And you're like, me. And I'm like, well, that's fair.
I mean,
but then the next thing you said was Timberland.
Okay,
and
I mean,
I'm like, that was
it's Timberland.
Timberland, sorry.
But I mean, well, because he is the reason why I started making music, and I mean, he crosses so many boundaries, and I just love that so much. And he was like, he was a black man in hip hop, and he was making like silly pop music, not silly, but you know, he was making Nelly Furtado, he was making her jump. You know what I mean? He was making crazy stuff with Missy Elliott, and it wasn't like hood oriented. It wasn't like gangster. It wasn't dark. It was fun and essentially pop music.
Well, I think it's interesting too that you gravitate towards a producer quality.
Yeah.
Like you gravitate towards actually being a producer, which is funny because it's funny because I feel like most of your like joy for music actually comes from producing.
Yeah, totally.
Now, what would you say the difference is between like if you sit down to make a track for yourself? If you're sitting down working for yourself musically, opposed to working with someone else, what's that process like usually?
I mean, usually it's the same because a lot of artists that I work with, I also write for. And so I'll come up with the song and I'll, you know, record a melody or something in my head on my phone and I'll go back and make it. And I mean, I usually do the same thing with artists. You know, my mom used to always say, like, give a gift that you want, you know what I mean? So, like, I always treat people like I'm treating myself. So the process is identical because I really create. I'm more of a boutique. Like, I don't just make beats and then you choose, like, from a book, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the feeling and you tell me stories and then I'll create something from
so
that.
So you also do lyrics for, like, that person as well?
Yeah.
And so you kind of just fully, you're just a songwriter in general?
I am working with one artist now who it's just strictly I'm producing and he's writing to
this
it.
Is
but
free,
I've
or?
Never experienced that. No, free, I write and produce.
Okay.
But
so I'm very excited for that record
yeah,
to come out.
Yeah, man, yeah.
I'm very excited.
I actually don't even know what songs are going to be on it. We've just made
you've just been making
so
a bunch of
many.
Songs. Well, that's a really solid process that I've seen a lot of people do, where you'll just make 20 to 30 songs and then just kind of pick what fits a narrative
I
over
mean,
anything
this
else.
May come out, like this may be obvious with my stuff, but like I don't do that. Like when it comes to my stuff, like if I have ideas for like 6 songs, those are the 6 songs that come out. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I've never once made like an abundance of songs where I'm just like, let's cut it down to, I've never done that. So doing that with an artist almost kind of makes me feel like, is this not good enough? But that's just me being, you know, an overthinker. But
well, they usually write to a narrative.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, but I also like create the music from that as well. You know what I mean? Like the beat has come from that story. So it's easy to write to it because the feeling is already there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I make a world, you know, it's not just a track. Like you feel what you're supposed to feel in the music. I mean, it's weird because music that I've made for different reasons or different feelings, when I give it to this artist who's just writing to it, he'll write some like off the wall shit. I'm like, this beat was a sad beat. And he's like making some like sex song to it. And I'm like, okay. Like, I mean, I appreciate the juxtaposition when it comes to this guy because he's a writer and he's just so fucking phenomenal. I mean, he's so great.
Well, but, if that's the process, how do you decide what's a Mel Lennon song opposed to what they're working on? Because is that a difficult thing that you have to make?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, super boutique. Like, it's not like I make a whole bunch of shit. Like, if it's an idea that I've had for myself, it's like if I'm writing something for me, it's probably because of something I went through with my boyfriend or something that I'm going through just in life, and I never really give that away. I don't really give that out. But when it comes to another artist, it's strictly just like about their stories. So the only reason why this guy has beats just lost stuff, it's old beats that I had for myself from old records that I ended up not putting out because they weren't mixed or I didn't have enough money to go in the studio or whatever. So he's getting those beats and he's like, oh my God, yeah, I can fucking do whatever on this. And I'm like, okay, so it wasn't bullshit, you know, when I made it. But also these guys outside my window. I don't know if you can hear that happening right now. This is New York.
It really is New York. Well, no, and now, what was the move like from going from Georgia to New York? And when did you make that move and why?
I actually got accepted to American Musical and Dramatic Academy because I'm...
AMDA?
I'm also an actor.
You're a jack of all trades.
I mean, your words. I've been acting since middle school as well, so...
Any good middle school production stories?
Actually, I went out for... I didn't, like, act in middle school, like, in the school. Like, my mom was like, no, if we're going to do this, we're going to go to, like, communities and whatever. So in Germany, it's kind of weird to do. And they had, like, this community theater, and, like, I went and I auditioned for this thing. And I was, like, this, like, mentally challenged kid. And, like, I said shit all the time, and it was... really cool for me because like my mom was like allowing me, and I guess my mom was like really proud because it was ended up being part of like this tournament of plays in like all of Europe, and I got like nominated for like best actor in a minor role, like all these things. And so my mom was like, I'm gonna invite the church to see you. So like the bishop of my church was there with like his wife, and I'm just on stage going shit, you know. And it's like but you know, I mean, it was cool for me because I felt like I was allowed to be rebellious, you know, but it was just me on stage saying shit. So, I mean, it's whatever.
But you came to New York specifically to work in acting, or like did the music thing? Like, what did you prioritize in your first move to New York?
Yeah, I came for acting. Like, I was going to go to that school and that was going to be my focus, and I was going to make music in my dorm room, you know what I mean? Like, the music was always been part of it, but it was never going to be the primary focus because I do a lot. But I got accepted to the school, and that was, like, my reason to come. But also, I was dating a guy, and I had been dating him for 2 months, and he's like, yeah, I'm moving to New York. And that was literally the first time in my life I was able to move, and I was like, me too, bitch, and then, like, fine. And he moved, like, 2 months before me, and then I got accepted to school, and I was like, be there in a sec. And I got here, and, yeah, here we are. I actually couldn't go to the school because I didn't have enough money. But
then you're here.
But yeah, no, I'm still here. Fuck it.
But you just wanted to stay.
Oh, like I wasn't going to go anywhere. Like even if I never got accepted to the school, my mom literally was like, she was making school like an incentive. Like if you go to school, like I'll help you out when you get to New York. And I was like, bet. No problem. Like I'll get accepted to the school. Don't worry. And I did. And she was like, all right, well, you know, you got accepted at least. So She like helped out for a couple months, you know.
So, got you.
Yeah.
But then, so then after not attending EMDA and everything, did you want to focus more on music, or is that just who you met? Because, I mean, I know everyone says it's like who you know and everything else, but what triggered you to like go back to more music?
You know, stuff? I actually,
because you've been writing a lot too. Yeah. You've been doing a lot of for the your pilot TV show.
Yes, exactly. On. I'm about
like,
to say
it's not like you aren't working on acting. It's not like right, you're not working exactly. on
so
your...
I'm gonna tell you like this. So this is what somebody else was saying too. Like, why haven't I done more acting or whatever? Acting, I need other people to say yes to me. Like, I need somebody to have a script. I need somebody to say I'm part of the project or be part of mine. Music, I don't need anybody else's permission to do.
And I completely agree with you. When I was doing theater and I was doing musical theater, and I have so many friends who do musical theater and things, it's a hard thing because just to be able to perform sometimes, mm-hmm. it's 3 to 4 months of rehearsals, constantly yeah. working. I could show up in a random city and play a show with just me and a guitar.
Right.
And I feel like I have way more control.
Right, exactly.
It's an extremely difficult decision, but I feel like there is space for both.
Yeah,
but definitely. I can completely understand with what you're saying is how you need other people's approval.
Right. I mean, to create. I'm that way anyway. But I wasn't... I mean, I started really like getting into my bag as an artist when I moved to Atlanta. And I started like releasing like these like little like mixtapes and shit. Instead of going out and acting, and I had just moved from Savannah. I was just in school for performing arts. That's what I went to SCAD for. And like, I was in like the student film and I was just like, yes, act, act, act. And then I moved to Atlanta and I was like, you know what? I am exhausted with people. I'm just gonna just be, I was like couch surfing and I was just like making music. And even when I got my own place and I started like whatever, I was still just like, I can do this music thing because I don't need anybody else to do it. And that really just stuck with me for like almost a decade. Like I would act here and there just to make sure I still could. But I like really have not been acting like since I went to college. Like I really haven't been doing anything. I joined I didn't even join it actually. Somebody was like, hey, come join this sketch comedy troupe like a year and a half before I left Atlanta. And then I was doing a comedy, a parody podcast. It was an NPR parody podcast called Barely Audible Whisper. And it was great. I mean, it's still going. It's still great. But that was the acting that I was doing.
Gotcha.
And then I moved here and then this. But the acting is coming. Like,
well, I know. We'll talk about your ideas like for what you want to work on and stuff.
I mean, my whole thing for even wanting fame was to try to change the landscape for people like me. When I was a kid, there was no representation. But now that representation is kind of like the new wave, it's almost as if, you know, it's like my work is done here. You know what I mean? But I really wanted to still want to make things where it's a black gay lead. And I really want it to be like some fantasy, like some action shit, because that was the shit that I loved growing up. The Matrix is my favorite film of all time. Like, I loved fucking Mission Impossible and shit like that. And, you know, even fucking when it comes down to a Disney prince, it's always the white savior. And, you know, I love my white people. I really do. But I needed to see that I was strong, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a black man and a gay one at that, I mean, I even had it from, you know, all sides. Even the black community always let me know how weak I was because of who I was. And so I want that to be changed, you know, just from, I mean, seriously, art changes society like you don't even know, you know, just having that representation there changes people's minds, you know, and so that's what I want to do. That's what I want to work on.
Well, then, so then with what you're talking about and what you want to write about and your ideas that you're working on,
mm-hmm.
how are you developing that into music? What's it like being a gay black man in 2020? Because Jesus Christ, I know I've talked about being, I know I talked about this year as almost a meme to an extent, but I mean, what's your opinion for everything that's been going on? I'm genuinely curious.
I mean, it's about time in one respect, but also it's like, okay, y'all better keep on, because I don't want to have this be this moment where everyone's just bored out of their minds, and, you know, so they see this cause, they see this cause, and they're just like, oh my God, yeah, crazy, like, you know, let's get out here and do whatever. And, you know, I mean, even still now on social media, I see less and less of Black Lives Matter, you know, and that is a mess too. You know, nobody knows exactly where money is going, and people are giving to wrong organizations, and there's this and that. And it's almost as if people are like weary of the cause, because they're just like, now, like, how do we know that this is true or this is right? Or, and it's just like, you know what? It doesn't even matter. You don't need to give money to anything. It's you in your daily life that needs to change. And the biases that we have against people of color, that needs to be checked. You know, those small things that each person can do within themselves are really the only change I'm asking for, you know, because that is what will change the system as a whole. Once every person, you know, it's a domino effect. But, you know, being Black is still being Black in America. You know, I mean, like, it's no different. You guys are just seeing what I've been fearful of for so long. You know, like, walking down the street. Even yesterday, I was on the train with my boyfriend, and I was dealing with some mess. And he was just trying to be cute, and he was, I had a hole in my jeans, and he was trying to play with it. And I just didn't want that to be done in public, because I'm a Black man and I was standing, you know, up, and he was a white guy sitting down, and I really just didn't even want the illustration to anybody else on the train that I was like weak in any regard. Like, that is on your mind 24/7 when you're Black. It's,
well, I feel like you have a guard up.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you have to, you know, even when somebody is not even like, I would say something if somebody was being nasty to me, like, oh, this guy must be racist, you know, even if he wasn't, even if he was just like, he was maybe homophobic, or he was just having a bad day or whatever. It's hard to tell what hate you're, you know, coming from. So I'm just going to assume that it's the Black thing. And if it's not the Black thing, I'm going to assume that it's the gay thing.
And the fact that you can take this and take your thoughts and put it into music, yeah, like specifically when hard. You listen to, like, when we were working on the Work music video and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when you first showed me that song, I was like, oh, cause I've heard a lot of your, like, you showed me other songs, like, out of our friendship and things, but the new stuff that you've been working on, I feel like has had to have been affected a little bit through the climate.
Yeah. Well, you know,
or just at least your personal struggle.
Actually, I wrote all of that, all the stuff that's coming out, which will probably be released next year. I wrote that last year, I want to say.
Well, what about Understand Me, huh?
All of that was written last. Oh, Understand Me, huh? Was written this year.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like the fact that you could take it.
That was the only one written.
And I loved, like, the video and stuff. Like, it was really cool how you did it. I liked the delivery. And I showed, I sent that to a bunch of my friends.
Thank you.
Oh, because I support you. And I love
you. Thank you. I appreciate it. That was the five views.
It was mostly me just watching it over and over again.
I knew it was. Mostly. So three of them are you.
Yeah. And I got you.
So two friends. but I actually wrote a song called Hunted, like, 4 or 5 years ago, about the same thing. So, I mean, I had always been talking about this. I had always been a little political in my music.
And it's always interesting to see the world catch up to something that you've been saying for a while.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is that, yeah, it's new for everyone who's got eyes on it now, but this is how I've always been living. And I feel like also true, like, I was recording this EP with some guy earlier this year. Oh, my God, I'm sorry to say. And he was like, oh, wow, you're so dark, like, I don't, your energy is just really, you know, right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going through shit. Like, of course it's dark. I mean, it's got, like, a poppy twist to it, and I try to, you know, think of some positive twist. I mean, even in all the songs, they have negative to it, but there's a positive ending to all of it. But even still, that wasn't enough for this
guy. Was that
guy.
Coming from your influences?
He went up.
Do you think that's subconsciously coming in through the influences? Like, when you were talking about specifically Timbaland being a Black artist who works in pop and, like, trying to project something else?
Yeah.
Are you trying to take that same narrative and then make it actually impactful?
Yes.
Is that a way that you're trying to put, like,
that's a good way to, yeah, totally.
Like, you're putting a twist on, like, because you're obviously inspired by that style production.
I mean,
but telling your own stories.
But it doesn't mean that it has to be dark.
No, I guess. It doesn't.
And that, although that's what this guy
thinks. I don't think I know how to write a happy song. I'll be the first to say that.
What's a happy song?
I have no idea how to write a happy song. And anyone who can write a happy song, I'm like, oh, you're really sad on the inside.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, you're doing some serious projecting.
You know, I mean, but also this guy was really into, like, he wanted to make some Reiki music, basically. You know what I mean? So, like, I wasn't his steez anyway. Like, you should not have invited me to your studio. But yeah, you know, even when I was younger, I remember playing beats for, like, my mom and her friend in the car. And they would be like, oh, this is dark. And I'm like, it's not dark. I mean, it's a minor key, maybe, but it's not dark. So, I mean, yeah, I take the hip-hop influence and morph it into pop, and hopefully that resonates with people and it's not like some dark cloud. I really hate that he just gave me that feeling, like I'm putting darkness out there. But it's not meant to be dark. It's meant to uplift, but also just like...
Be aware.
You know, like, yeah, like... You need to hear this story because you're always just hearing, like, this bullshit on the surface. This is really what's going on. You know what I mean? Anyway.
But isn't that a relatability for these times that we're living in?
But he was saying that I didn't need that. He was like, we get that you're human. Like, you don't need to get people to think that you're inhuman. But I'm like, I kind
of
do.
Out of all the people that I've met and the artists that I've known, you may be the most human.
I'm joking. Don't think so. I'm a god.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, no, I feel like sometimes I do need to bring some relatability to my music, to like such a relatability that it's like, oh my god, yeah, like everybody can understand. So then people won't be like, oh, a gay relationship is totally different than a straight relationship or what. Like, that's why I try to get into like the ins and outs of what I'm feeling, you know, about stuff, just so people can be like, my love with my boyfriend is just as crazy, up and down, beautiful, sweet, hard as your relationship is with your girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you find that you're pigeonholed in that way? Unfortunately, that you don't want to be, do you have to come off as a specifically like black artist? Do you find that you have to, like, you're going to lose appeal from other people?
I'm changing that. So that's because
we had a conversation. We had a conversation a while ago about like the quote unquote, like you were explaining like the black experience.
Uh-huh.
Which, let me go on record, I'm very white. I understand this.
I mean, but not very. Oh, you know, right. Too many songs to be considered very right.
Right.
White. We give you something. You can come to the cookout.
But what you were talking to me about, you're saying on how I have to act black.
Yeah,
in my music.
Mean, yeah.
And as a gay black artist, do you find that there's an issue where you maybe have to feel like you have to come off more masculine or anything else?
It used to really feel that way.
You were talking to me about how you said you have to still be quote unquote hard. And you still have to be something that you don't necessarily have to be to fit in with musicians.
I felt specifically in rap. This way before, like, I will tell you, I felt this way probably before like a couple months ago. Like, I really felt that way up until this year.
Hmm.
Like, then I'm like, fuck this shit. Like, no, I don't need... Can I say fuck on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Is this HBO?
This is any other thing.
Okay, great.
You can say fuck whatever you want.
Serious radio? I can... Okay. So, yeah, I felt like... I mean, even still, when I was making music in Atlanta, people would be like... When they would hear my rap music, they'd be like, oh my god, I didn't know that you have this in you. And I'm like... What in me that you didn't think that I had? Like, this, like, you can be so, like, hard or whatever. And I'm like, I don't need to be whatever. I don't need to be thuggish or whatever for that. It's not about that. Like, if you disrespect me, I will fucking come back at you. And that needs to be the end all of it. Like, I don't need to have some personification of being hard or ghetto or whatever, thug, for you to respect me. Like, I don't. No, but that is how I used to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I remember you talking to me about
but
that.
But you can even see at the end of the work video where it's, I mean, even the wardrobe ideas in
personifies
in the
video a lot of the stuff going into that, for sure.
Are very like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to be flamboyant and still be a rapper. Like, mm-hmm. I don't fucking need...
Well, I mean,
no.
I feel like even, like, with artists like Kevin Abstract and, like, Donald Glover and, like, all these people, like, mm-hmm. who are becoming and just showing exactly who they want to be,
mm-hmm.
white or black.
Yeah.
I feel like there's definitely a move for more of feministic or androgynous style music, which
right.
I think is really cool. I think I described it as like androgynous, like bedroom pop.
Yeah.
And I think that's sick.
Which I really love, actually.
I really love. I love that style of music. And I think that you're coming off across. Now, when you're talking about identity, So going from, obviously, just besides the fact of there are multiple Joshies,
mm-hmm.
going off that, and let's pretend that's not an aspect,
mm-hmm.
Mel Lennon, why do you feel that this music
mm-hmm.
should go with that name? Like, what was the change from going from your own personality to an artist name?
Because
you could have done just your name. You could have done anything else.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see, like, why specifically you picked Mel Lennon and how that transfers into the music. What does that mean for you?
Well, first off, when you say it together, melanin, it's melanin. It sounds
right.
like the thing that causes pigmentation in skin. And so, you know, when we talk about black people this year, more so, I've seen a lot of hashtags that have been like, you know, melanin magic and like, you know, it's that melanin and melanin popping, you know, all that. And, you know, in my head, I kind of just wanted a crowd of people in fucking Germany, nothing but white folks just screaming melanin. You know what I mean? Like, that was in my head really when I was changing the name. But also because of what we talked about earlier about how, you know, I have like this hip hop influence and it's changed into it's, you know, via pop. And then it's like, okay, so is this black music? Is this, I mean, is this a black guy like making this music? Like, whatever. So I want it to be first and foremost that this is a black man and I should be able to sound however I want to sound, like, period. So, I mean, I think that was really the biggest reason behind why I chose that name. But the reason why I changed it was just, I just wanted to. I mean, I had been Joshy for so long and I kind of felt like, I was, because I felt like it was too personal when I wasn't successful with my music. I felt like it was just a personal, like, defeat on Joshy. But melanin, I can separate it and be like, it's fine. But also, RuPaul told me that I need to have a separate name on a lot of stuff when I'm successful. He's like, just separate your
name. He told this to you personally?
It's better. it reached me on a personal level. So that's what we're going to go with.
That's extremely fair.
So, yeah.
Man, I adore you.
I
love you very much. And we have more music videos to make.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're so sick, bro. I mean,
I just love you. We met each other. It was so funny. I think the reason specifically why I like work so much, and I'm excited for people to hear it. I'm excited for your EP to come out.
Mm.
And I know that I've like given you a lot of advice with like releasing and everything else. Yeah. But man, the fact that that song is just about the grind of being a New York artist and like trying to get your shit out and working through the bad times, and the fact that we both like met working at a bar,
yes.
and like you doing like, you know, we were both interning at the time,
yes.
and I just seeing that, like seeing the music that you've put out and like the music that you're gonna put out,
yeah,
is just it's really huge because I'm a very big champion of you. I just want you the best, and you're incredible.
Oh, you and those two other people.
I know. Well, hey, we can grow that to more people.
Yes, exactly. Two at a time.
Two at a time.
That's my
motto. No, I'm excited.
Just
kidding. Your record's
Justin, my boyfriend, he would not.
your record's coming out later, either this year or next year.
Overthinking Out Loud. Yeah, definitely.
Now we're going to release all your other songs under Melanin. As a, could you do like a compilation of like
older songs?
Old, like just release all the old songs on like an album and it's just a compilation of just all your Joshy work and it could be songs from Joshy.
I already have the playlist. Yes.
Of just all the old songs. Just get them out so people can listen to them and then be like, this is my new shit.
Yeah, that would be cute.
I would really enjoy that.
I think I want to do it kind of later as like a time capsule type of thing.
Mm, gotcha.
But yeah.
The first song you showed me was Fight This Feeling. We were talking about it briefly before, but you said you can't.
Fight the Feeling.
Oh my gosh.
What a fan.
Wow. I have you on my show.
Wow. Exactly. You invited me here. Didn't do the research.
Wow. Brutal. But I like
Fight
that song.
Fight the Feeling.
Fight the Feeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people like that song. A lot of people bring it up to me in Atlanta, because that's where I released it, and a lot of friends will bring it up. And there's, like, this rap section in the back of it, and it's just cringy to me when I hear
it. But again, that could be one of the songs off the comp that you could put out for all your old songs.
I mean, if I do re-release it, I want to... I already made like a bridge version where it's just like a bridge. And I feel like I just keep it a pop song and not try to...
Well, just make sure you release music because I really do like it. And I know that thank you have to believe in yourself. I know that having a champion of you, I'm a very big champion of others. That's literally why I have this podcast. This podcast is just something that I do as my hobby.
Yeah.
And just because I care.
This is a hobby for you?
This is a hobby. You know I work. You know I'm doing this like 12 jobs.
This is a dope ass hobby. Like, okay. All right.
Come on. You know that I just, and I believe in you. I love you dearly. And I just want to say thank you again for being here.
No, I love you as well. And you're welcome.
All right. Any last words? You're welcome.
You want something to drink?
Yeah, let's get drunk.
You want some alky?
Thank you very much, Josh. I love you. Mel Lennon, we're excited to see the stuff that you put out. Thank you.
Cool, yeah, thanks.
It's, don't put on the artist voice. I'll see you later. Thank you very much, man.
All right.
Bye.